And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast. Here again for another episode, episode 23. How you feeling, Braden?
Oh man, what a time to be alive. Not a great time to be a Jazz fan, but a great time to be alive for sure.
Horrible time to be a Jazz fan, but we're still here. Season's almost over. We're going to get some NBA playoffs. We're not going to be in the playoffs, but at least we'll get to watch some other teams ball out.
Oh, absolutely. It's a good time to be a sports fan, though. Yeah, NBA playoffs coming up. MLB just kicked off. March Madness is coming to a close. Oh, yes. We got some big games coming. So, some really good stuff.
As we're recording this episode, March Madness will be this weekend, Saturday.
Yes.
The Final Four, and Monday, the National Championship. So, can't get much more exciting than that.
Oh, yeah. It is a great weekend. And we got a lot of exciting things in today's episode. Maybe not as far as the past week's games, but we're going to go over those. We're going to talk about trying to find some bright spots there. Maybe talking about some trends we see and a historic streak from the Jazz. And then we're going to name our player of the week like we always do. And we're going to talk about our upcoming games. We're going to get our predictions. And then we're going to talk about some Jazz news. We have a couple of interesting things to talk about. And then if you remember in episode 4, if you've been with us that long, we gave you our Jazz superlatives, what we thought was going to happen this season with our players. And we're going to do a little update and maybe update those a little. And we got some NBA news and some local news, and we're super excited that you joined us on our episode today.
For sure, and this is episode 23 of Tuned In Jazz.
All right. Well, Andrew, I'm losing faith that I can catch you in the standings here. Andrew's got 44 wins. I got 41, and I
got that three game pull. There's not a whole lot of games left. I think there's only six games total, counting tonight.
I think so. So I might have to change some of my picks so I can catch you. But we guessed 100% correct this week, unfortunately for the Jazz, starting with the Rockets, which was a tight loss, 101-100 at home. So it's kind of tough. What were your thoughts on that game?
It's good to see that we were in this game, because I know the last time we played the Rockets, they totally blew us out of the water.
Yeah.
And I remember that being like pretty much the worst loss of the week. I think they scored 140 on us.
Yeah.
But we were in this game. It was a little better. I will say I've been loving Colin Sexton in this stretch. Of course, we haven't been winning games, but I'm very pleased with what I'm seeing from him. He seems like a whole different player. I wish we could have got the win, but it's okay.
Yeah, definitely. I feel the same way. One thing I was impressed with this game, it seems like there's been some losses over this stretch where the Jazz have just seemed like they're done, you know? But this game, like, all of our young guys were working really hard, and, you know, of course they're all fighting for their opportunity in the NBA, so I could understand that, but it was kind of fun to watch. It was like we were watching a playoff basketball game almost. But
yeah, for sure.
Bryce Sensabaugh, 0-for-8 was one thing I noted.
Ouch.
Kind of a rough game for him. He bounced back a little, which we'll talk about in our next couple games, but I also thought Johnny Juzang had a really good game, 12 points. He's kind of carving out some room in the rotation a little. We'll see how that goes next
he's
year.
He's definitely shown that he can shoot the basketball, which I think will get him minutes potentially next season. I'll also point out the Jazz as a team had 9 blocks, and most of them were from our guards. Chris Dunn had 3 blocks, Colin Sexton had 2, and then... Yeah. Hendricks and Collins each had 2, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and somehow all of the Rockets wings still ended up with almost 20 points each, so it's kind of a crazy game. But
Jalen Green's been on a big tear recently, so
yes, he has. Yes, he has. They've got a lot of really young guys. I've always just really liked Jabari Smith Jr. I know he kind of gets a bad rap because he's not like a purist scorer, but really long defender. He's like a nice piece for a team like that to have, so I'm kind of jealous that they have him.
Yeah, for sure. But I guess kind of moving on to our next game, we also played the Sacramento Kings on the road, and we also lost that game. Gave up 127 points, so not the greatest defensively. But what do you kind of glean from this game?
Man, yeah, the Kings are, I think they're trying to fight their way out of the play-in right now.
They used to be at the sixth seed. They've kind of moved down a couple of spots, but they're still right there in the mix.
It looks like they're currently at the eight right now. They're they're only a game or half a game back from six, which is just how tight the West is. But anyways, some interesting things from this game. I was impressed by Bryce Sensabaugh kind of bouncing back after having such a rough game. Also, another thing I noted, Keontae George didn't have like an incredible game, but he shot 7 free throws.
I love it.
It's kind of cool seeing him be aggressive, kind of going at the rim and just, I don't know, that would be a good thing to add to his bag going forward.
Yeah, also 4 3-pointers from Taylor Hendricks.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if that's his career high, but I feel like if it's not, it's very close.
Gotta be up there, yeah.
Absolutely.
Good to see that he's making some shots. So that's what we want to see from him moving forward.
It didn't take 10 shots either. It was 4 for 6. Mm-hmm. Really pretty efficient.
Yeah, one of his best games. And he also had a pretty good game in the next game against the Cavaliers. He also had 18 points in that one too. So
yeah, he had a pretty good game. Yeah,
I think our rookies are really impressing. Going to that Cavs game, Sensabaugh had his second 20-point game in a row, which, I don't know, it's kind of interesting. I feel like last year, our rookies, you know, we were kind of in a similar spot where our rookies got a lot more minutes in the rotation, but I don't remember, like, Ochai or who else did we have last year? I guess it was just Ochai, huh? Or Walker Kessler, but I don't remember Ochai, like, having crazy games like this late in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he had a few really good games, obviously, but so it's kind of cool to see Sensabaugh maybe get some confidence going into next year. He could maybe find his way in the rotation more consistently when we're actually fighting. So
yeah, I also say our 3-point defense in this game was pretty awful. They shot 50% from 3 on 40 attempts, so they made 20. So. Pretty insane. Keegan Murray, I don't know if you remember that other Kings game earlier in the season where he dropped like 50 points on us with 12 threes.
Yeah.
But low key, I don't know, something about when we play the Kings where they just ball out and hit their shots. Their whole team did very well shooting threes. Our former Jazz man, Trey Lyles, he had 3 3-pointers off the bench too. Got to shout him out.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of former Jazz guys this week with Kings and Cavs have like 3 of them, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
You're crazy.
Well, I guess we could just kind of go to the Cavs game right away.
Yeah.
Also a loss. We talked about Sensabaugh and Hendricks having another good offensive game. But yeah. Anything you want to add about the Cavs game?
I mentioned Sensabaugh, but one guy I've been really impressed with, I guess he kind of has a little to do with Utah, is Sam Merrill. He's really finding his role on the Cavs. Shot 12 3-pointers, 18 points, 5 assists. Like, he's just, anyways, that's not really, I guess he's obviously not a Jazz player, but he does have our hearts here a little in Utah, so I'm happy for him that he's finding his role there.
Yeah, makes me kind of jealous. I wish we could have had him because he looks so good. He's a great role player. Also, add the Jazz had 19 turnovers this game, 7 turnovers for Colin Sexton and 4 turnovers for Keontae George. Don't love to see that.
No.
And I know also I watched a little bit of this game in, I think it was kind of the like second or third quarter. And our bigs just could not do anything against Allen and Mobley. They were just dominant. Yeah. It was pretty hard to guard either one of those guys. They both ended up with 20 points. Jared Allen had 12 rebounds, and yeah. So I that's why I really, really wish Walker Kessler was at a higher level right now. It's hard to see that he's kind of taken a step back in his production and his role and everything.
Yeah, I think I suspect that it's something we'll talk about with our superlatives here in a moment, but I would really have loved to see Collins and Kessler like just work better together. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, and I think Kessler even got injured in this game. He got like, I think he got hit in the jaw, or I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, he had something came out.
Yeah, it's hard to see.
It is, but we move forward, of course. We also predicted a loss to the Clippers game. We're recording on Friday this week because of some weekend plans, so we obviously don't know the result of that yet, but I suspect that we'll have it right.
I think I actually had a win, if I'm not mistaken.
Did? Okay.
I did have a win for the Clippers tonight. And okay, I don't know. I think you might have too, but I might be wrong.
I might have, yeah.
But that'll be a good game. The Clippers are actually not doing super well right now, so who knows?
No, I think Kawhi Leonard is on his yearly rest before playoffs start, so you never know.
I mean, they have the Mavericks right on their back, so if they really can't afford to lose a couple here, so hopefully, I don't know, hopefully we'll see a good game, but...
Yeah.
But I guess going into Player of the Week, who did you have this week?
Well, this was a tough one, obviously, but I just really have been impressed with Bryce Sensabaugh. I think he's gotten a couple of my Player of the Weeks so far, but
he's your boy.
I'm just really happy for him. I love the way he plays. My personal opinion is that Bryce Sensabaugh has superstar upside. But the question is will he get there? Obviously, is what's yet to be seen. But he's got the skills to be an elite scorer in the NBA, so we'll see. But I'm really happy for him. So he's my Player of the Week.
I love it. I'm going to do a repeat of last week. I got Colin Sexton again. I just think if you could accumulate this 10-game loss, this kind of waning of the Jazz season, the real upside and the real, I guess, diamond in the rough is Colin Sexton, and he's just been playing so much better than the beginning of the season.
Easily.
He's aggressive and getting fouls and getting to the rim. He jumps so high, he gets all those offensive rebounds and hustle, and I've just been impressed so much with the play that he's had, and it almost makes me feel like he might be one of the pieces that we should hold on to moving forward, and maybe we shouldn't trade him, but we'll see what Danny Ainge cooks up. I don't think anybody's safe, but I do like what I've been seeing from Colin Sexton in this.
Oh yeah, most definitely. We'll have to look before next episode, but I suspect that he's probably gotten the most Player of the Week picks from us this season.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And so he's just had a really nice season where he's shown people his value. So yeah, that's a really good pick. I like that one.
Yeah, got to give him some love.
Yeah. We got four games upcoming this week, if you don't include tonight's, of course. We start on Sunday in Golden State. You think we can pull one off against the Dubs?
Well, I guess if I'm looking at the NBA standings, just at a glance, I think that could be helpful for some of these games too, to see like how much they're gonna care.
Yeah,
I think the Warriors really care right now.
Yeah, I think so.
The Rockets are now four games behind them in the 11th spot. But I don't know. I still think every game counts for them. They're only two games behind the Lakers for ninth spot, and so all the reason to win. We're on the road, so I got Warriors.
Yeah, I totally agree. That 9-10 game is a tough spot to be in, because you have to win twice in order to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And for like as of right now, obviously it would be Lakers versus Warriors, which would be a great game. But both of those teams are older.
And I'm sure neither of those teams wants to play an extra playoff game. I wouldn't. And so yeah, I think they're safe from the Rockets at this point, would be my guess, but they definitely don't want to be in that 9-10 if they have a choice. So yeah, I got a loss as well.
Yeah, and I think both the Lakers and Warriors have looked really good over the past week or so. And so I could definitely see them moving, one or both of them moving into like the 7-8 spots if it keeps going that way. But
yeah, definitely.
I guess our next game, also a doozy. We're playing the Nuggets at home. What do you say for that?
Oh, yeah. That's a tough one. They also are in a tight battle. Maybe not the same type of battle, but as of right now in the West, which we know is a crazy thing right now, Wolves have 53 wins, Nuggets also have 53 wins, but they have one more loss, and the Thunder are also one more game behind them. So I'm going to say loss as well, even if it weren't the situation, I think we would lose to the Nuggets, but especially on top, I say it's a loss.
Yeah, I also got a loss. The Nuggets away record is 22-16. Our home record is 20-19. So even with that, they've got a better away record than our home. So they got reasons to win. So I got Nuggets too. Jokic is so good, but
yes, he is. And then we have a nice day off in between our next game with the Houston Rockets. We just talked about them a little, but what do you think? What do you think's gonna happen in this game?
Man, we've been playing the Rockets a lot recently.
Yeah, I feel like we
you
have.
Think you think have we beat them this season? I think we're 0-3, if I'm not mistaken, because we've lost these past two, and I think earlier in the season we had like an overtime loss to them also. So I think we're 0-3. So for that reason, I'm gonna actually put a win. I don't think we can go 0-4 to the Rockets. Let's take one of those games, please.
Okay. Fair enough. I actually got a win as well. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of these games this week have to do with playoff seeding, and I just think that the Rockets are probably pretty close to being out. Mm-hmm. I think statistically they're not out yet. They're the last Western team that's not out, but they're getting pretty close to being out. So they might be out by then.
Yeah, and it's going to be hard to outwin the Warriors right now. They're playing good, so.
Yeah, especially with a 4 game, and you probably only have 5-6 games left, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to give us a win too. Why not? We can pick up a dub in this losing streak. So I say.
Yeah, got to get one win for the Rooks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we got a back-to-back after that. Then very next day, on the road against the Clippers, what do you got?
I'm going to give us a loss. I think, I don't know. That was just a gut feeling one. I don't really know why, but I'm sure the Clippers are going to lock in here pretty soon. So I'm going to give us a loss.
I got a loss too. If history repeats itself, we struggle on the road. The Clippers are pretty good at home. And so
yes, they are.
Yeah, let's do a loss for that. I think that would just make the most sense.
Yeah, speaking of history, something kind of interesting we forgot to mention with last week's games. This is the worst losing streak that the Jazz have had since the 1981-1982 season, where we had an 18-game losing streak.
Which is insane. I'm so glad we didn't lose 18 games. And please, Jazz, don't keep losing. Don't keep this going. Let's get a win to end the streak, please.
Yeah.
But no, that's insane. And 1982 is crazy.
Yeah, say what you want about the Jazz as an organization. You know, obviously we've never had a championship before, but the Jazz have been like proven winners in history. Like in the last 40 something years, we've just been a team that's always been at least okay. And not all teams can say that. So but interestingly, the Jazz, do you know who the Jazz drafted that year?
Pretty good player.
Pretty historic player, yeah. Dominique Wilkins was a member of the Utah Jazz for a couple of months, apparently, which was news to me until we looked that up, but kind of interesting.
Yeah, I guess he was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were looking this up before recording. We got totally swindled when we traded him away after a couple months. I think that might be the biggest regret in Jazz history, or like the worst trade that we've ever made. Like, we just traded away a Hall of Fame player. Maybe he might be like a top 30 player. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, that's not a bad take.
And we traded him away for John Drew, Freeman Williams, and $1 million in cash.
And okay, so this might just be my age, obviously, but like, I don't know who either of those players are.
I think that's okay.
And I know that, so it just makes me wonder, was it the $1 million that was the pull there? Like, obviously $1 million was probably worth a lot more in 1982 than it is today, but like, that's just insane. Wow. Holy cow.
Yeah, I think it's not really anything crazy. I've never heard of John Drew or Freeman Williams. I am looking at John Drew's stats, and he actually wasn't that bad. He averaged 17 points a game and 16 points a game and 21 points a game for his 3 years in Utah. So actually, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And he won Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah.
So
the interesting, can you imagine what would have happened had we had Dominique Wilkins, John Stockton, and Karl Malone, which were both, both drafted 2 and 3.
We might have beat Jordan. We might have beat Jordan.
Oh, we definitely would have beat, well, I shouldn't say definitely because Jordan was a beast, but.
Well, maybe we wouldn't have been bad enough to draft Malone anyways, though. We might not have
that's gotten true.
Him.
That's true.
But yeah. at least you Jazz fans know it can get worse. We could lose 18 in a row and trade Dominique. but hopefully we get somebody good in this draft. And actually, speaking of the draft, I guess that's a good segue. We got a huge win in the tank race, I guess.
Yes, we did.
We passed the Brooklyn Nets for the 8th best odds in the lottery.
Let's go.
That would mean that we have a 6% chance at the number 1 pick and a 26.3 chance at a top 4 pick. So take that with what you will. We've been Nets fans for like a week and we passed them finally.
Yes, we did. I guess I'm kind of regretting my player of the week pick now, though, because maybe I should have picked Larry Markin, and he kind of helped us out a little.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about injury?
Yeah, he. It was reported about a week ago that he had a right shoulder injury, is what I'm seeing. But Andrew found a post that said that he had a classic case of tankinitis. I like that.
But I know he probably is hurt, but I just think that was hilarious that one of the Jazz fans put that on there. Good old tankinitis, but
I suspect that it's probably a real injury, but I'm sure the Jazz aren't like sending their entire medical staff to make sure he gets back anytime soon. They're probably just like, oh, you know, just take it easy. And I can't imagine there's a rush there from him or the team. So
yeah, the Jazz posted on, like, last week, it's a right shoulder impingement. I have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
But it's been good. We really need to make the most out of Larry next year and the last year of his deal. But
yeah, absolutely.
Be interesting.
Another interesting piece of Jazz news. Justin Zanuck, our beloved GM, who's been our GM for a couple of years.
I think he's like the president now because of Danny Ainge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, something like that. They're like, yeah. But
he's up there.
He had a kidney transplant. It was reported that it went successfully. Even Donovan Mitchell was sending him prayers over Twitter. So we send our prayers as well for a quick recovery. Obviously, that's kind of a scary thing, but it sounds like it worked for the best. So,
yeah, I can't even imagine. I know like procedures like that are kind of scary. And so I'm glad to hear like that it went well and hopefully he can recover fast. Yeah.
Well, that takes us into our Jazz, I guess, superlatives, what we'd call them, that we went over in episode 4 almost 20 episodes ago.
It's crazy.
Absolutely wild. Thank you for, if you've been listening since then, or even if you haven't, thank you for listening this long. It's awesome. We appreciate your support.
Yeah, we're here to hold ourselves accountable. I know.
Absolutely.
maybe it was like 3 months ago or however long ago it was. We made some predictions, and we're here to see if those predictions were a W or if they were an L. How about I'll give one out first?
Okay.
So we both gave our top three scores for the season.
Yeah.
And let's see if I got them right. I think I might have, or at least gotten close. I said Lauri Markkanen would be their top scorer. And okay. I'm just going to look at our stats real quick. I'm assuming he is, but I just want to double check.
He is currently.
He is?
I mean, yeah, he will be, definitely.
Okay. And then I had John Collins number two. I don't think that aged well. And then I had Jordan Clarkson number three.
Okay, not too bad. It was actually Colin Sexton moved up into second. And then Jordan Clarkson and then John Collins. So not terrible. Yeah, almost had it there.
Yeah. I'm happy to be wrong. Happy to be wrong with that.
Me too. I think I actually picked the same ones. I just copied and pasted my notes from episode 4 so that I could see what my thought process was. And this is kind of funny. I have Markkanen, Collins, and Clarkson, and then in parentheses I put Horton Tucker.
Oh no.
I don't even remember what my thinking was.
Was he your dark horse? I guess
that might have been, that's probably what it was, but
I'll tell you,
insane.
that's definitely an L take, but at least the other few weren't bad, I guess.
that's a pretty poorly aged. I guess he was our sixth best scorer, but oh jeez.
Let's wash our hands of THT this season.
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's time to move on.
Who did you have for top rebounder?
I had Walker Kessler.
Let's see.
He ended up being third. John Collins and Lauri both had more than him. Yeah. I also had Kessler. I thought this was going to be a breakout year for him, as we'll see later, but
yeah.
Not too bad.
I think not a terrible take. He was within a rebound of it, so
I think if he had more minutes, he probably would have got that, but
yeah,
what
absolutely.
Can you do?
Next was our top assist man.
Who'd you pick for that one?
I had Jordan Clarkson and Colin Sexton, and it was Jordan Clarkson and Colin Sexton, both with 5 assists, so what can I say? I'm a wizard. What about you?
I had Jordan Clarkson, and then I put Chris Dunn in parentheses.
Okay.
Which looks like he was fifth, but he also kind of waned a little in how his role, and also we didn't expect Keontae to pass like he did this year, so not a terrible pick, but yeah, Clarkson, that was a good pick. We both got that one on the head.
Okay, and then after assists, we had just, I think, our guy that we'd see the biggest jump or improvement with.
Yeah.
I'll say it's an L for me before I even say it, but I said John Collins. That didn't really happen. I don't know. Going into the season, I was kind of optimistic about him. Like,
yeah,
we just made the trade and it's like some new blood. And Lauri Markkanen had been so good last year. I thought John Collins was going to do something similar. But yeah, I don't know. Did you think he was going to be something at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, he wasn't my pick. I do think that, like, looking back, though, like, I don't think it was crazy unreasonable for us to think that John Collins was going to give us more than he has this year. Like, we've seen him play well before. In Atlanta, he's had seasons where he was borderline all-star. So it's, I don't know. It's not that crazy, obviously, but it just didn't work out, unfortunately. But
yeah, I will say his stats compared to last year went up slightly.
Oh,
his year in Atlanta the year before, he jumped up 2 extra points than last year, 2 extra rebounds, and about the same amount of one block a game. So, I mean, he did get better than his last year in Atlanta, but him getting better is, like, still not that good. But
yeah, no.
Yeah.
And just, I think it's partly the fit, too. Just, we kind of thought he would fit better with the Jazz, and he just hasn't been hard to have rotations around him. My most or biggest improvement, who I thought this year was going to be Ochai Agbaji. I also put Yurt 7 as a dark horse. I don't feel terrible about that pick. Stats-wise, didn't age very well. I do think there was some moments this season where Ochai looked really nice. And I really thought he could make a jump this year.
He did have that one block on Tyler Hero that I think is one of the plays of the year. But
absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, he turned into a first-round pick, so we'll take it.
We'll take that. We'll take that. And then we tried to predict all stars, which was incorrect for both of us, obviously.
Right.
But I'm guessing you probably had the same one, which I had Lauri Markkanen, and I also put Kessler and Collins as my dark horses.
I just put Markkanen. And I think he had an all-star caliber season. There was just too many guys in the conversation. Otherwise, I think he would have made it. So I don't feel bad about that one at all. I think he had an all-star level year for sure.
Yeah. I'd argue that he probably slightly outdid himself in some ways than he did last year. He was probably a little bit better in some ways. I don't think it was too great. I mean, I'm just trying to justify being wrong, of course, but I really, really believed that Kessler had that upside this year. We just haven't seen it. It's been a confidence issue, or I don't know what the issue's been, but this hasn't worked out.
Yeah, it's tough to see.
It is.
Okay, and then we also had best rookie. Who did you have for that?
Well, this is my best take. Obviously, it was Keyonte George, and I think most Jazz fans would agree that that's definitely true.
Mm-hmm. I also had Keyonte, and so we both take a W with that one. He's been honestly better than I expected, and I still put him best rookie at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
so absolutely. You love to see that.
Yeah, he's been fairly consistent. Like early in the season, he wasn't very consistent, but he's just. Like since maybe January, he's just been playing at a pretty baseline level of what we would want him to play as a rookie. So,
yeah,
really good.
I've also seen like throughout the season, like he's changed his play style like three or four times. Like when he first started playing, he was like 9 assists, 10 assists, 11 assists, almost on the nightly. Then he kind of turned to like, all right, I got to start shooting. And then he'd like get 20, 30 point games for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I think now at the end of the season, he's learned how to get to the line more. So we've started to see him being more aggressive on defense and shooting more free throws. So it's cool to see like his evolution. And I just hope that he can like take all of those attributes and just like whatever he needs on a given night, whether it's threes or passing or getting to the line, he could just do any of those things. That's what I'd like to see next season.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Next week we're planning on talking, or at least maybe not next week, but in the next couple of weeks at least, we're talking about our NBA awards, and I suspect that he'll find his name in maybe at least one of those teams. But yeah, really good. Really good rookie season. In a normal year, I think he might be in like a rookie of the year conversation. But this class so far seems pretty stacked. So I don't know.
Yeah, there's no way anybody's going to get it over Wemby. It's like he's the only one in consideration.
Chet's the only one that's even close, but it's still not really close.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. That brings us to most impactful newcomer. And I feel like we've already kind of beat the bat over the head with this one. Yep. I picked John Collins. I think, is that who you picked as well?
Yep, I had him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really want to beat a dead horse anymore, I guess. It is what it is, I suppose. Do you think he finds himself a role in the future? Or do you think it's time for the Jazz to move on next year? What are your feelings about him moving forward?
I don't like his role in the starting lineup, personally. Yeah. So I know we're paying him like 25 mil for the next year or two, I think at least two years. Yeah. And so, I mean, we got to spend the money somewhere. He's definitely going to get some of it. But yeah. I think he'd be more off the a guy off the bench type role, personally.
Yeah, definitely. That's tough. I just really don't know what to do with John Collins if I was the Jazz. I just really wish he was a better three-point shooter. If he was a better three-point shooter, I feel like it would be a easier thing to justify of, like, finding him a role off the bench or...
Yeah, his defense is also very questionable. I know he gets some blocks, yeah, and he's a really good rebounder, but yeah, when people drive on him in the paint, it seems like they get layups too easily, and he just has to foul. And then on the perimeter, I don't think he's like anything crazy. So I just don't... The defense is what really, really sways me to think he'd come off the bench.
Yeah, I think John Collins is like low-key kind of a victim of what the NBA's turned into. Like, you know, a decade ago when you actually had power forwards still in the NBA, I don't think that John Collins is really like out of place. Like, he's a good rebounder. He's good at scoring around the rim. That's what you would want from your power forwards.
Like when we had Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert playing together. Yeah. Or like Al Jefferson and Paul Millsap playing together.
Carlos Boozer right before that. Yeah, we were just...
Yeah.
That's what you had. But yeah, it's just like a weird spot for power forwards, especially with this team when you've got 7-footers on both sides of him. You know, it makes it just kind of odd. I'm sure that's hard for him. You know, I definitely don't think that it's a laziness issue. It's just a fit issue.
Yeah. And then I guess we had one more thing. This definitely didn't age well, but we had our... We were confident that we were going to make the playoffs at the beginning of the season. So we had our ideal lineup going into the playoffs. So I guess we could change it to be our ideal lineup going into the future. I had a combination of... either Keontae George or Colin Sexton at the point, and then Jordan Clarkson at the 2, which didn't age super well, Markkanen at the 3, and Collins and Kessler. So not super great, but what did you have?
Yeah, not too far off from what I had. I had I felt like Keontae George was going to be our guy. Still feel pretty good about that. I guess I was just a really big Ochai Agbaji believer. I had him at our 2, Markkanen, Collins, and Kessler. But at least we got Keontae George and Markkanen right, I think.
Yeah, we did.
Maybe
we
Kessler.
Did.
I don't know. We'll see about that one. But
I would say, I guess if I were to revise it now after watching this whole season for the most part, I'd say Keontae is that point guard. He's got that. And probably Colin Sexton alongside him.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably Taylor Hendricks at the 3 now, and then Markkanen and Kessler, even though Kessler hasn't been on nothing, but I'd still start him.
Oh, definitely. I actually totally agree. I didn't expect Keontae George and Colin Sexton to fit so nicely next to each other. It just seems like they would clash, but it's worked really nice, even though we've been losing. Obviously, that's not necessarily their fault, but... Yeah, I like that lineup. I'd say, probably Hendricks would be my 3. I can't think of who else I'd have.
Yeah, maybe we draft another guy that this offseason or sign a free agent that might compete for that 3 spot. But I'd say Taylor Hendricks probably my guy right now.
It makes me wonder, though. I guess it doesn't like matter a ton because we kind of play 4 out, but... whether Hendricks or Markkanen are better and like which order, you know, because Markkanen's played the 3 a lot, but also I guess it doesn't like matter a ton. It would just be a matchup issue. But
I would just say Taylor Hendricks would probably guard the better player.
Yeah.
Try and get him some harder assignments. But
and you'd definitely want Markkanen on the worst player offense. Get him like some when rest. He's an offense. Yeah. He could
but
back
he,
down.
He
some
has
guys.
Shown. He has shown that he can lock people up on defense too. So if he's willing to put forth the effort, like let him go. Let him go.
Yeah. Oh, and the Jazz at some points this season, they were really good at mismatch hunting with him. Like they would just switch until they got the right matchup and then he would just post them up and do his thing down there. And they were really good at that. So that's not a bad strategy next year too. So.
Well, we just have a couple bits of news before we close out the episode. Thank you to everyone that's been listening up until this point. This is where we get some fun things, but just a fun bit of news. Bronny James declares for the NBA draft, but it does say that teams likely aren't to pick him in this current draft, and so he'll probably go back to college, just probably on a different team instead of USC. But any thoughts about Bronny James? Do you think the Jazz should scoop him up in the second round, or what are you thinking?
It's interesting. I wonder when he says, when he puts that out there, because I know he's like keeping his eligibility. Is he really only floating that out there for the Lakers, or like, you know, like, it's kind of interesting. I don't know. The hard thing with him is I just don't know like how much interest there will be from other NCAA teams either. Like, he may have to end up at some kind of Mountain West team, which wouldn't be terrible, but
some sources say that he's considering Duquesne.
Oh, really? Oh, I guess because
has Bronny LeBron's his... like former assistant coach or something.
Yeah, former teammate. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting one. It'll be. I actually think Bronny has a lot of upside. I just think that. I don't know. He might be a four-year college guy, to be honest, before he gets to the NBA. I don't know if I have a lot of faith that LeBron's going to be around by then, but
I think if he like puts in the effort and the work, I could totally see him like having like a big improvement from this college season to his next one. So if I were him, I would go back to college again. I don't know if a team will draft him just because of his name, but if I were him, I would want to make it to the league because of my effort and my talent. And I know that he probably feels the same way. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Maybe a team will just pick him up because of the name, but I hope that he maybe gets another year in college and can put that work in.
Absolutely. I don't know if you saw, Austin Rivers has a podcast now, and he was mentioning it, and he just talked about how like difficult it was when he played for his dad. And how just like no matter how hard he worked, everybody was always just accusing him of like, you know, being where he was because of his dad. And it's like, yeah, that's got to be so, that's a hard position to put a guy like Bronny in. Is like, he's probably worked really hard to get this good. You don't, right. They don't just like, USC doesn't just offer anybody contracts. And so hopefully he gets some recognition for his actual talent. No, instead of just being Bronny James. It doesn't help that your name is Bronny James Jr., but...
For sure, for sure. And then I guess one last thing. We did talk about March Madness happening this weekend. I know your bracket probably has no chance, but let's say you get a reset. Who are you picking for these March Madness games?
Yeah, unfortunately, no Final Four teams on my bracket this year, but...
I still got UConn, but that's about it for me.
Really? I honestly think UConn is pretty unbeatable. Like,
right.
I thought Illinois was pretty good, and I really thought Illinois was going to do something, but that 30-0 run they had against Illinois was just... I've never seen anything like that before. So I think I'm going to... I have them, and I think Purdue ends the Cinderella run... NC State.
But. I'm going with my heart, and I'm going to put NC State.
Okay,
I love DJ Burns, and I don't like Zach Edey, and so...
That's a good matchup, too. That'll be so fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't know who will get the better of that matchup, but my head says Purdue, my heart says NC State, so I'm going to put NC State.
Oh, yeah. I'd love, as a BYU fan, I want to see NC State go all the way so that I can say we beat them this year. And
we did
call ourselves de facto champions, even though obviously that's not true. But
and then I would still put UConn either way as the champion. Yeah
they are so good.
We could draft Stephon Castle from UConn.
Oh yeah, UConn,
he's mocked up to go to the Jazz in a couple mock drafts, so who knows.
Yeah,
watch out for him.
He's got a lot of upside. We didn't even talk about him in our episode a couple weeks ago, I don't think, but
I think I brought him up briefly.
Oh, did you? Yeah, I couldn't remember. Yeah. But yeah, he's got a lot of upside. He's a nice defender too. Yep. just a last thing. We've talked about potential baseball hockey teams coming to Salt Lake. The Oakland A's, we're talking about other, well, they are building a stadium in Las Vegas, and they were deciding between Sacramento and Salt Lake as a temporary spot until their stadium's built. And unfortunately, they've selected Sacramento, which I hear their stadium is pretty bad. Apparently their stadium is pretty terrible, so that's okay though. We'll when expansion talks come in the MLB, you know, we're going to be right up in there, so maybe we'll get a permanent team, who knows.
Yeah, we'll see. And same with NHL too. I keep saying if we get an NHL team, I'll go all in. I'll be one of their biggest fans.
Yes, we're going to turn this into a hockey podcast.
Low key, yes. That would be good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you to everyone for listening to this episode. If you made it this far, you're a real one. And if you've been keeping up as a Jazz fan this entire season, you are even more a real one for making it through this losing streak. But we'll catch you with an episode next week where we'll probably go over some playoff predictions and award recaps for the NBA season as we move into the playoffs, and that'll be exciting to see next week.
Absolutely. Stay safe out there. Try not to have too much fun, and God bless you. Peace.